Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the wonderful Old Testament book of Joshua. Today we'll learn about the foundational history of God's people and the nation of Israel, and we'll see that these histories are also prophetic of future events. Paul tells us in the book of Galatians, "Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Our study in Joshua will show us that, just as God's people had to battle for their promised land, today we too must battle to see, then seize, God's promises for us, so that we can live in the Spirit-filled life. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
That's one of those areas where God says, go ahead and step. And when you do and step out, you will see the miraculous move of God. Verse 9. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here, hear the words of the Lord your God. Joshua said, and by this you shall know that the living God is among you. He says this a lot, does Joshua. And that he will without fail drive out from before you the... If you have a pen, if you wouldn't mind, write a little number one, the Canaanites. And the, now write a little number two, Hittites. And the, write a number three, Hivites. Number four, the Perizzites. Number five, the Girgashites. Number six, the Amorites. And number seven, the Jebusites. The reason I had you do this is actually quite amazing as well as prophetic. In the book of Numbers as well as Deuteronomy, you find out there that under Moses, before he handed it off to Joshua, they encountered three of the 10 nations occupying the promised land. Moses and Joshua, they wiped out already Shinon and Og, Numbers 21, verses 21 through 35. Shinon and Og, there's two. And the Amalekites, that's three. Exodus 17, verses 8 through 10. There were 10 nations, 10 authorities. What is left after three have been defeated? How many are left? Seven. So you have seven kings left from the 10 kingdoms. So you have seven heads with 10 horns. Are you following me? As we get to the actual battle of Jericho, we're going to see some startling similarities to the book of Revelation as well. So you see potentially in model form here, here is Joshua Jesus, who is now going to face, as it were, the seven heads, kings, remaining of the one-time 10 horns or authorities or kingdoms. Hey, in the book of Revelation, who goes after the beast with the seven heads and the 10 horns? Each king here that attacked Israel in a certain way, for instance, like the Amalekites, their methodology was they would just kind of wait behind. So as the 2-3 million people passed by, the Amalekites would just hang back and they would see who was straggling along behind and then pick them off. It's a fascinating study to look at all of these Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, etc., etc. Do a little research and find out that these are actually 10 very effective ways that the enemy can pick you off as well. Verse 11. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into Jordan. Now, therefore, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from every tribe. And it shall come to pass as soon as the what? Soles of their feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off or stopped up. And they shall stand as a heap. Can you pile up water? This is something supernatural happening. So I wondered when the captains went through and they said, all right, everybody, You've had 3 days to look at this flood coursing downstream, and you're barely squinting at a mile across, hearing the rushing roar of the river. 3 days we've looked at that. Then you hear, "Follow the ark." Okay, I hope the ark takes us to Walmart or someplace, because I sure don't want to go that way. Then the priests put it on their shoulders. Where are they going? And God says, "Hey, priests, put your foot in the water. Hold your finger here. Look back at chapter 1. Look at verse 3. Chapter 1, verse 3. Every place, the Lord said, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have, past tense, given you, as I said to Moses." Back to our story. What about the soles of their feet? Wherever they believe God to step, God says, well, that's a portion of the promised land that you can hold on to. If you remember back in our chapter 1 study, how much land did God actually give as the promised land? 30,000 square miles. What is the most Israel, even under Solomon, the most that they ever actually controlled? Less than 10%. That's a model for us. Here's your promised land, Christian. Spiritual gifts, healings, miracles, whatever it might be. To speak in a tongue, to speak in a way that it's unfruitful for the mind, but the spirit is connecting. And it builds you up, says Paul. We have all these things available to us in the promised land. Step out, says God. Step out. And most of us go, "I don't know. Has everybody seen the river? Oh man, it's terrible. It's torrential. Flooding like crazy. Put your foot in it." Because what did God promise in chapter 1? Every place you put your sole of your foot is yours. So you take off your little sandal, and you get your little dog over the water, and step. You hear a splash. You feel the water rush around the ankles. And for a split second, you would swear that God didn't know what he was talking about. Until the waters split. Oh, Pastor Steve, where are the miracles of the book of Acts? I read, and isn't this supposed to be happening in the church? What's the answer? Yes! But the first step here, model form of the promised land, is you got to empty yourself of your stuff, your crud, in order to be filled. Sanctify first of all. And then hear the word of God. Let's go. And then when you see the move of God in the form of the tabernacle, follow it. And when we do, stuff happens. So the soles of your feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, when they step inside the water of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off. The waters that come down from upstream, they shall stand up as in a heap. Wow. Principle of the promised land, the spirit-filled life has already been given to us. We have to just step. Verse 14, so it was when the people set out from the camp to cross over the Jordan, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, what do you think the priests were saying who were on the front end of the Ark? Isn't it my turn, Ralph, that I'm supposed to be in the back of the Ark? No, that's not right, Sam. You're in the front. Step. And they dipped into the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all of its banks during the whole time of harvest, upwards of almost a mile across. The raging torrent just cruising. There's so much water before the promised land. Couldn't help but think of John chapter 7, verse 37. Jesus, and on the last day, on the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scriptures had said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. What a fitting image. Verse 16, that the waters which came down from upstream, look at it, there it was. They stood still and rose up in a heap. Now here's a very interesting detail. But very far away at Adam, the city which is beside Zaratan. You kind of have to get your Bible dictionary out, and you can locate it on a map. Here's the point. Where do the waters pile up as a heap? About 19 miles away. Read that out of sight. You can't see it. Now, there are obviously witnesses because they said that's where it piled up as a heap. But most of the people said, I can't see it. A powerful principle of the promised land. Don't trust in what I see. Trust in what God's word says. Ask Peter. Come out of the boat, says the Lord to Peter. Now, if Jesus says, come out of the boat. Oh, by the way, where is Jesus currently at that moment? He's standing on the water. Peter says something astounding. Is that you, Lord? If it is you, ask me to come out. Say what you want about Peter. Ready, fire, aim, his methodology of ministry. But he had some faith. He swung his legs over the side. None of the other guys did. I wonder if they're all watching, going, is he going to do it? And he was walking until he saw the wind and the waves. Which means if he saw the wind and the waves, he must have taken his eyes off of Jesus. And you know the story. And he began to sink. And Jesus does one of those amazing one-arm curls. Have you seen the wonderful painting? You are underwater, and you're looking through the roiling surface, and through the curvature of the water, you can barely make out the face of the Lord, and his hand is thrust through the boiling surface, and the hand is right in front of you, reaching down from on top. It's the picture of Peter, blub, 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 blub. And he utters, as you know, the shortest prayer in the Bible. Lord, save me. One guy can't pick up big old Peter. He was a big fella. And with one arm somehow lifts him up supernaturally and sets him on the boat. Be careful of what we see and what we don't see. Don't let those observations make our decisions for us. Principle of the promised land. Don't trust what you see. Trust in what God's word says. Ask Peter. So the waters that went down into the sea of the Arabah, the salt sea, that's the Dead Sea, they failed and were cut off. And the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all of Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. Maybe we should title tonight's message, Jump In. While we're here, we got to go to one of my favorite places. Would you join me? We'll end with Ezekiel chapter 47. Ezekiel has been teleported forward into time, and he's literally observing the millennial reign of the Lord. So after the rapture, after the book of Revelation, after Revelation 19, when Jesus returns to the earth with all of us and he says a word and dispatches all of his enemies. And Ezekiel is shown this temple that is built in the millennial reign. He begins to describe it. It's beautiful, beautiful stuff. Then he, the Lord, brought me, Ezekiel, back to the door of the temple, this millennial temple. And there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple. For the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the brazen altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate. He led me around on the outside of the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running out from the right side. And when the man, there's an angel that is taking him through and even giving him measurements and so on. So he's getting a guided tour of this millennial temple. So when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, or the measuring rod, he measured 1,000 cubits. That's about a quarter of a mile. And he brought me through the waters. And the water came up to my what, everybody? Ankle. So the water starting from under the temple is about ankle deep. And again, verse 4, he measured 1,000, which is about another quarter mile. And he said, now come through the waters now. Well, now it's getting deeper. It's up to my what? It's up to my knees. And again, he measured a little further downstream, and he brought me through the water. And this time it came up to my waist. So it's getting deeper. Verse 5, and again he measured 1,000, another section downstream. And the water was too deep, in which one must what, everybody? I want you to see something. Water in the Bible is always reminiscent of many things. It's the water of the Word, to be sure. But remember what's flowing in front of all the children of Israel as they're getting ready to go into the Promised Land. It's a flood of water. God parts the Jordan for them. It's a picture of the baptism of the Spirit, though none of them got wet. I want you to notice this progression. When you enter, as it were, into your walk with the Lord and you jump in, God in His graciousness may say, I'm going to let you jump into the shallow end and it may only come to your ankles. And that's comforting for some of us, including me, because I like standing on God's promises. I'm in complete control. Water's only up to my ankles. I'm standing firm. I like this. I like this water thing. But God says, don't stop there, harvest. Come in a little deeper until it gets to your knees. God says, I love it when you stand on my promises, but there's more to this Spirit-filled life. How about you let the Spirit of God, so to speak, modeled by the water, come to your knees, if you will, prayer. Let's move from standing on the promises, kind of when it's all about me, and let's move to your knees in prayer, if you will. Now I'm thinking about others. Okay, Lord, I'm praying. Good job. But don't stop there either. You mean there's more? Come on in. Deeper, if you will, to the waist. Now, because you've been praying, because you've been standing on the promises, God is using you, and you might notice that you are procreating. People are watching you and they're saying, how is it that you get through that difficult situation like you just did? Where there's life, everybody, people want to know how you got it. Well, now that I'm reproducing other little Christians around me, is that good enough? Well, you can stay there if you want to, but the guy says, come in a little deeper. And again, he measured down and there was a river and I couldn't cross. It was too deep. You know how it goes when you're in the pool? And your kids jump right in, kersplash. And when you have enough birthdays, I don't know if it's a function of that or not, but you ease into the water. You know what I'm talking about? You get up to your ankles and your kids are going, come on in. And you get up to your thighs and you're going, you start breathing funny. And then you get up to your waist. And then you get a little deeper, you get a little deeper, and pretty soon it's right about the shoulder. And your feet are going, doink, doink. And you've got basically one big toe in the sand. I'm still holding on. God says, come in a little deeper. But Lord, if I let go of that last little toehold of complete control, then I'll be swept along in the current. And this isn't in a no-control sort of way. Of course, you can navigate. You're not completely, as it were, swept away out of control. It's an idea of let the last little bit of you holding on and come in and drink deep of the things of the Spirit of God. And let His Spirit move you. And if we were to keep reading here, It got deep and it flows into the Dead Sea. Before the millennial reign, the Lord comes back to earth. Revelation 19, and he touches down here on the Mount of Olives and it splits. And this water thing gushing around. We get more to the story in the book of Zechariah, verse 7. And when I returned, there along the bank of the river were many trees on one side. What do trees typically produce, everybody? Then he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region, goes down to the valley, and enters the sea. What sea is that? The Dead Sea. Watch what happens about this water. Why do they call it the Dead Sea? Because water flows in, but it's so low, nothing flows out. The sun evaporates the H2O, leaving behind the salts and the sediments that float in as the water picked up soil and what have you. And over a long process of inflow of water, but no outflow of water, that body of water becomes dead. That too is a picture of God's Spirit. He's pouring into us all the time. But if we don't give out, we'll be like this. Into the valley enters the sea, the Dead Sea, and when it reaches the sea, the waters are what, everybody? Say it again, the waters are what? Let's all stand together. Lord Jesus, what a great picture. Water, water, water. But Father, with our Jesus glasses on, I pray that everyone here watching or watching us online, this is a real series of histories with real people having to do with real circumstances and situations. But with our Jesus glasses on, what a picture. The water is flowing. How do I get in, Lord? Well, you better follow the Word of God and watch where God goes, then you go there too. But what if the Lord is leading me deeper into the river where my toes don't touch anymore? If God's word says go, then go. Father, I pray that all of us who have experienced a bit of a dryness in our walk, maybe tonight's message on so much water will be encouraging. Let the river flow, Lord. Awaken our souls. We've been asleep, some of us, Lord. And the grumpies have been getting a hold of us. And we're looking more sideways at our spouses. And everything they kind of say hits me wrong. Maybe I need some water. My job, Lord, dry as a bone. Oh, deliver me from this whatever. What you need is water. Lord, I pray for all of us in the room tonight. Oh, in Jesus' name. It starts ankle deep. Let us move to knee deep in prayer. Let us go to waist deep, and ultimately, Lord, where we have to let our toes loose from the sand. And please, oh please, Lord Jesus, would you take us along with your flow? Because it's your flow, Lord, that I need to touch the dead places in my life. And may you bring healing, Lord. There's some spouses here tonight that the enemy has almost got you convinced that it's dead. Please don't give up. Please don't pull the chute. Please ask for God's rain, his water, his moisture, the filling of his Spirit to erupt from us, and out of their bellies will come rivers of living water and flow, Lord, into those dead places and bring healing, O God, and life, and defeat what the enemy has been trying to do. I thank you, Lord, for our time of worship tonight. And I thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. And I thank you, Lord, for the water. Jesus' name, and everybody said.
You've been listening to the Book of Joshua with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these messages have been helpful in understanding the powerful and crucial principle of living in the Spirit-filled life. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.